Welcome to Trailblazers, where we explore the inspiring journeys of entrepreneurs and industry leaders who are redefining success and making a lasting impact. These game changers are driving progress in our region and around the world. Welcome to Trailblazers on WDIY 88.1 FM. I'm your host, Melody Bradford. On this episode of Trailblazers, we're joined by a woman whose story is not just about winning races, it's about redefining endurance, excellence, leadership, and purpose across an entire lifetime. Joetta is a four-time Olympian, award-winning motivator, author, wellness leader, leadership and performance consultant, and one of the most respected voices in the conversation around mindset, longevity, and resilience. From Olympic competition to empowering audiences around the country through health, wellness, leadership, and purpose-driven living, Joetta's impact reaches far beyond the track. She is a New Jersey Hall of Fame inductee, a recent Steinbrenner Family Award honoree at the Penn Relays, named among the Morning Call's most influential people of 2026, president of Joetta Sports and Beyond, co-founder of Joetime Fitness, founder of youth wellness initiatives including Head to Toe Fitness and D2RYD Track and Field Camp, and author of Joetta's P Principles for Success. But perhaps most inspiring is this. Joetta continues to show people that excellence doesn't expire with age. It evolves with discipline, movement, mindset, faith, and purpose. Joetta, welcome to Trailblazers.
Wow, thank you, Millie. That was really nice. I had to pinch myself to make sure that was me we're talking about.
That's loaded. It's completely loaded. Joetta, before the Olympic stages, the Hall of Fame honors, and national recognition, there was simply a young girl with discipline, drive, and belief. What first sparked your passion for running and excellence?
Well, Melody, I think if you go back to my early childhood up in Newark and South Orange, New Jersey, back in the 60s, that was a turbulent time for the country. It was a lot of divide. Diversity wasn't really something that was going on at that time. And my father always said that you could do whatever it is that we say you can do, my mother and father. And so at that time, they said you would go to school, you would be smart, you would do an activity, and you would complete the task. So that was what we were taught, and that's what I believe. So at a young age, I didn't know what was going to happen, but they had an idea for us to, a path for us to go down. So I went down that path, and running was something that I did along with dancing and tennis and swimming. But the running I enjoyed as I got older because I beat the boys. So a short answer is I did not know I would run, but I knew that whatever it was, my parents were going to support me, and they were going to give us the direction. A lot of times now, kids tell their parents what they want to do. But in my time, the parents said, this is what you were going to do, and we did it.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever realize early on that your journey would become something bigger than a sport?
I did not, because during that time in the 60s and 70s, you remember sports were different for women. Title IX had just started. Mm-hmm. It's been, I think it's 53 years now of Title IX. Wow. So it just started. There was not equality for women in sports. The opportunities to go to college under the NCAA ruling, like men, that was not around. So I did not know that being an athlete would expand my horizon nationally, internationally, scholarships, USA teams. I just knew that I wanted to run because that is what I was told to do and that I was good at it. But God has a way of working things out. So by me staying in the sport and getting better, it's now turned into a business where I can help other people.
Mm. One of your strongest messages is that greatness starts in the mind. How do you develop the mental toughness to compete at the highest level? For decades.
Yes, I think that's something that's imbued in your spirit. I tell people all the time, you can't motivate someone. Either they have it or not. What you can do is guide them at whatever level they are. So for me, I was a type 3 personality, AAA personality.
Yeah.
And whatever you told me to do, I went to the next level to overachieve. Mm. And that could be good. It could be bad, depending on how you look at it. But for me, if you said I couldn't do it, I would do it. If you said no, I would try and accomplish it. So I just use the motivation that I had and the direction that my parents gave me to accomplish the goals in high school as an athlete, in college as an athlete, now as a businesswoman. If someone said no to me, I would show them that they were wrong and I was right, which is I can do it and exceed the expectation. So I think that for me, to motivate somebody, or how I got motivated, was that I did not want to at one time disappoint my parents. Mm-hmm. But as I got older, I was motivated because I knew I could do it. Mm-hmm. So the motivation was accomplishing the goal. So often we don't go after the goals. We set them, but we really don't put our whole heart into accomplishing the goals. Mm-hmm. So for me, if I set a goal, I have a dream, I put everything I have into doing that. And most of the times I accomplish it with the help of God.
Mm-hmm. And that kind of longevity requires far more than physical ability. It requires mindset. You know?
It does. The mindset is important. You know, we always say you don't ask how you're going to do it. Your why has to be bigger than your how. Mm-hmm. If you have the why, then the how you figure it out. And that's what I've done. The mindset is so important. You talk yourself in or out of something. Life is full of cans. I can accomplish everything. Take the word try out of your vocabulary. I'm going to try to make an Olympic team. I'm going to try to start a business. Try gives you an excuse. So if you don't do it, then you're okay with it. So I'm going to accomplish make the Olympic teams. I'm going to start a business. I'm going to go back to school. That is how I look at things. I take those words of excuses out and I speak words of affirmation into my life.
I love that. I love that. Press repeat on that, listeners. Make sure, because that's sage advice right there. Joetta, you competed in 4 Olympic Games across 3 decades. Let me say that again. You competed in 4 Olympic Games across 3 decades. Yes. 30 years.
Yes, long time.
What does sustained excellence actually require behind the scenes? Because that's unheard of. I mean, that's incredible.
Not many of us walking around making 4 Olympic teams, but I tell people I tried out 6 times. Mm-hmm. I tried out in high school in 1980, and I did not make the team. I took 7th at the finals, and then in college, I did not make the team in 84. And so I made 4 Olympic teams, but I tried out 6 times. So speaking to your point of resilience, redefining yourself, restructuring yourself, recreating a passion to continue. Mm-hmm. So once I made my first Olympic team, I'm like, I like this. So continue to define and redefine my body, my mind, my team, and go after it again. Then I got really good. I made the finals, and then I tried out again and did well again. And then I tried out my last time was my family. We went 1, 2, 3 in 2000. My sister won. My sister-in-law was 2nd, and I was 3rd at the trials, and we were coached by my brother. So it is a longevity, but I think what it tells me is that if you have a mindset and if you're willing to put the work in, it doesn't matter how old you are, you can accomplish those goals. And don't give up on your dreams. It didn't happen today. It didn't happen yet, but it doesn't mean that won't happen. Mm-hmm. Not yet doesn't mean never. Mm-hmm. And I think so often in life when we don't accomplish something right then, we think it will never happen. And it goes back to whatever you believe in, whatever your purpose is, whatever your passion is, you have to stick to that. And then you have to just change some things. For me, changing coaches, changing my work ethic, changing my environment, who I was hanging out with. Once I did that, I was able to go to another level. And we don't want to leave our old friends. We don't want to leave our old jobs. So we stick in that space and it becomes dead. Mm-hmm. So you have to change.
Talk to me a little bit about discipline versus motivation, right? Yes. Like, so you develop a habit, you do it, you go full throttle. But how do you stay motivated? Yes. Because I got to tell you, you know, there's things that I want to do and start, and I've done them, but sometimes you lack a little bit of motivation. Mm-hmm. How do you stay in that mindset?
One thing, that's a good question. One thing is that once you get in a rut, you don't let that define you. And because I'm motivated doesn't mean I'm motivated every day.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I'm disciplined doesn't mean I'm disciplined every day. It's a lifestyle that's part of who I am, but there are times when it's like, oh man, I don't want to go do this, or I'm tired. We have those same ideas too, but a champion or someone that's going to be successful, they get back in the game a lot sooner. So if something's going on in the time where I'm saying I don't want to do it, I may not do the activity, but I'm processing what needs to happen for me to go to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
And in business, I may not want to write a grant, or I may not get the grant. In the meantime, while I'm thinking about why didn't I get the grant or what to write, I'm thinking, what do I have to do differently now?
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to moping and saying I'm no good or they just missed out on an opportunity. No, I think about what it is that I can do differently, go back in there and try and do it. So the difference between motivation and discipline is that discipline is your character. You're not disciplined in track. I'm disciplined with school, with the family, with my business, with my friend. And motivation is something that you do if you want to be in that act, in that environment.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm motivated to go to the beach. I'm motivated to go away on a trip with the girls. I'm motivated to start a new business. But the discipline is what makes the motivation successful. So you can be motivated, but if you have the discipline to stick to it, it's not going to be attainable. You're not going to achieve your goals.
Do you ever give yourself grace and rest? Like, you know, I've just from a personal perspective, I've made so many transitions and you know, changes in my life.
Sure.
And sometimes, like, you just need to step back and be like, oh my gosh, I need to emotionally detox.
Yeah.
I need to take a break. I need to rest.
Yes.
And, you know, do you do that for yourself?
Yes, you
and
have
how
to.
Important is that?
Very important. It goes back to the mental part. A lot of times when we are always go, 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 we don't sit down and look at what we've accomplished. And I think making four Olympic teams, I got to my last team and I realized what I had done. But when you're in the middle of climbing a corporate ladder, starting a business, being a housewife or being a mother, whatever you're doing, you're so busy always on that you don't look at what you've accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
So I say take a you go girl moment and look at what you've done, because what you've done encourages you moving forward that you can do it again.
Mm-hmm.
And taking times like a bow and arrow, take time, you rest, you pull back, you pull back, you rest, you pull back. But when you finally let that arrow go, it soars.
Yeah.
And so often we're always shooting that arrow off. We don't pull back and get energy. We don't pull back and get information. We don't pull back and rest. And once you get the rest and the energy and the new ideas come, when you shoot that arrow, you're full of great ideas.
Yeah, you know, when you stick to the discipline so much, sometimes you forget to celebrate. And
right.
Sometimes you're not, like, living in the moment. And, mm-hmm. you know, so it's important to make sure you build that in as well.
Yes.
Joetta, you speak powerfully about purpose being what makes longevity possible. How has purpose fueled your commitment to fitness, wellness, and excellence throughout your life?
Well, thanks for asking that question. We have a company called Joe Time Fitness, and fitness is a lifestyle. And people look at me and say, oh, you're a four-time Olympian. I know people that are Olympians and that are not healthy, mind, body, or soul. It doesn't have anything to do with being an Olympian. It's a lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
For me to have a strong body, strong mind, that equals a strong future. And that's what I've done over the years. And so for me, it's easy for me to stay fit in those areas because I want to make it a lifestyle. It's when you are not making it a lifestyle and you're making it for a reason, a wedding dress,
mm-hmm.
a reunion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those reasons, they
fade.
Die. They
yeah.
fade.
Yeah.
But if you have a real purpose, which is a lifestyle,
mm-hmm.
you have a reason to go to the gym or work at home or to eat right, to eat healthy, to eat clean. These are reasons for you to live that. So I'm very thankful that I've been able to have the lifestyle. I'm able to compete now with the Masters and run against people. I'm 63 now,
wow.
soon to be 64, but I compete with women 60 to 64. And I'm not running the 800 meters anymore. I'm sprinting. But I'm still out there with people that are my age and older. They're 90 and 95
oh my.
Out there competing.
Wow.
So that's something special to see.
What was it like competing as a woman at the highest level during a time when women's athletics often didn't receive the respect or visibility they deserved?
Right. Wow. I love that question. And the answer is it was tough. I'm a woman, black woman,
mm-hmm.
running middle distance. Middle distance and distance people didn't come from the States back when I started. They were from Africa. So I was always asked, where are you from in Africa? being black and doing it, that was not something. I was only the only black woman most of the time. I was running the 800 meters in high school and in college, and definitely running cross country at a high level. It's the same thing in the corporate world. Sometimes I'm the only black woman in the room, the only businesswoman in the room, the only woman in the room. Mm-hmm. And I think that sports prepared me for these opportunities, because when I'm in the room or when I'm on the track, it's about showing up and doing the best I can do. Yes, for women, yes, for black women, but for myself. And I think that we get caught up in being excluded because you go into a place with an attitude of, man, no one is in here like me. But I say when I'm in these spots to shine bright like a candle. And when I do that, you know, I speak to people, I have information, I remain relevant, and I'm able to bridge the gap and not look at women, black, but just look at me as a person. Mm-hmm. And when I go into places, I look at people in that space. Of course, I see your color or what you have on, but I don't approach you with that negative energy.
Mm-hmm. Your family became known as one of the greatest families in track and field history. How did growing up in that environment shape your mindset around excellence and expectations?
Well, my dad is the late, great Dr. Joe Clark. He's the subject of the movie Lean On Me. Mm-hmm. He was a high school principal of a school called Patterson East Side in New Jersey. And then my mother was a businesswoman. And they told us that just because someone hasn't done it doesn't mean you can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Growing up in a family of excellence. Now, initially, as far as popularity, we weren't excellent from that perspective. But from a family perspective of, you know, paying your taxes, my parents, going to work, making sure that they provided an environment for us to thrive, be kind to people, go to church. From that perspective, that was excellent. Now, as we got older, and, you know, I'm a four-time Olympian. Mm-hmm. My sister is a three-time Olympian. Mm. My brother is an Olympic coach. We all graduated from college. My brother, Villanova. My sister, University of Florida. Myself, University of Tennessee. I have a daughter now that's running, continuing the legacy. She's a graduate of the University of Florida, a world champion, NCAA champion. So the excellence, the legacy is now here. When we were young, we were building the legacy, but excellence was something that we strived for. So I tell people to look at your family. A lot of times we look at other people's family and they say, what they have, they're doing.
Mm-mm.
Look at your family. You're doing something, and make sure that your kids and your family see that, because it's tangible.
Mm-hmm.
And it's real that way. My parents were not on TV, but my father was an educator. He was college grad, two at the time, then another one later on. And then my mother was the best in her field of cosmetology. She did all of the stars' hairs and makeup. So we saw that. And then as the legacy continued, our kids now see what we've done. Our family now sees what we do, but also the world sees it. But if the world sees it and your family doesn't see it and you're not pouring into your family, that's not a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
The apple doesn't fall far from the tree. So if I'm saying be educated or travel or whatever I'm telling the world to do, and my daughter is not doing that, I'm doing a disservice to my family.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, excellence is about making sure that they know that it's hard work, that you have to be resilient. And just because you don't succeed the first time doesn't mean you're a failure. You only fail if you don't get back out there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I was able to make four Olympic teams. That's why I'm able to be in this business for over 35 years. A woman in business, that's unheard of.
Mm-hmm.
Because most businesses fail the first 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
What an incredible mindset. You were recently honored with the Steinbrenner Family Award at the Penn Relays.
Yeah.
What did that recognition mean to you personally and professionally?
Well, professionally, it meant that I'm still remaining relevant. A lot of times that you get out there and you're not getting
awards.
Yeah, I'm still relevant, right. And as an athlete, the Penn Relays is a really big carnival. And I ran Penn Relays in high school and in college.
Uh-huh.
I've won a lot there. I'm in the Penn Relays Wall of Fame, they call it. And my brother is a Penn Relays coach. He won many times as a coach at his various schools. And then my sister also ran at Penn Relays in high school and in college. And this was special because my daughter ran her first penny relays this year. Mm-hmm. So we got the award. We were all there together. Speaking about legacy, we were all there together at penny relays, all having run there, and we saw my daughter run her first one. So that was special. And it just speaks to a legacy of, you know, when I get awards now, my daughter hears about how good I was, but the awards lets her know that I really was that good. We all say, oh, we did this or we did that. But when you get the award of being the best woman in business or being the best athlete or being whatever it is, the best, getting into the Hall of Fame, the New Jersey Hall of Fame, your College Hall of Fame, the USA Track and Field Hall of Fame, she sees that and she goes, wow, this is something special. And not only in business, but also in sports. It's just, it kind of is engulfed who I am. Mm-hmm. I'm not just a track runner. I'm not just a businesswoman. I'm a combination of all these things, and it helps me to be a better person, a better mother.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you.
Yes.
So you often speak about what you call the Joetta effect.
Yes.
What exactly is that, and what does that mean to you?
Well, the Joetta effect is about letting someone know that you are amazing, but it takes work. And the Joetta effect focuses on, you know, you have to have a purpose, then you prepare, you're patient, you get perturbed, you persevere, and you pray. And you bring all of those elements into your life. People say they want to be like me. Well, be yourself, but you can take some of the things I'm telling you to apply to your life. I can't be you, you can't be me. But what we can be is our best. Mm-hmm. And we can understand that it's going to be a hard road. But if you want to be the best at doing whatever you're doing, time, talent, patience, in order to be successful, you have to have sacrifices, stay in power, know your strategies. These are all things that it takes. So the Joetta effect focuses on all of these aspects, K through 12, universities, corporations. I go in and I speak about what the Joetta effect is. We do leadership and team building at corporations. For colleges, we talk about working together as a team and what that looks like. So the Joetta effect is about making sure you understand that you are a champion, but how do you get that out?
Mm-hmm.
That's the effect, getting the champion out of you. We all have it, but the Joetta effect brings it out of you.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't think about the sacrifices and, you know, whether in business or, you know, family or whatever, there are a lot of sacrifices that people don't see when they see success. And
right.
I think it's really important to make sure that you're seeing the whole picture and understanding the whole picture and then striving for the whole picture and realizing, like you said, you have to have patience, you have to have consistency, you have to have discipline and all of that. Joetta, even today, you continue to compete, train, and push yourself physically. What keeps that competitive fire alive inside of you? I mean, will you ever retire or, you know?
Well, I don't know about retiring from the running. I guess I pray that I can continue with the Masters Circuit for a long time. I will retire from the grind and to be able to live a lifestyle now that, you know, you've done all the work.
Right.
So now let's enjoy it while you're able to move and round and do things. You don't want to enjoy it, you know, later on.
Right.
I'd rather enjoy it 60s and 70s where you can still move, jump, and do all those things. So I don't know when I'm going to retire from work, if you will, but I will slow down. But I think that so often we don't prepare ourselves for this time. So I prepared myself for this time financially, physically, mentally, and spiritually, for the time where if I want to just take off and just hang out for a year or two, I'm able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's not your story, I would say that, you know, you have to figure out what is your retirement. What does that look like for you? What does retirement look like for me? I may not be an Olympic athlete, but I'm running the Masters Circuit. I may not do 5 or 6 events a month, speaking events. I may just do 2 or 3 a month.
Mm-hmm.
So it just depends what it looks like. But you have to write that gap down, have your goals, and go for it. You're in baking. Mm-hmm. You have to be able to redevelop yourself. You have to make sure that you remain relevant.
Mm-hmm.
That industry changes. Mm-hmm. The same with speaking. It changes. Everyone is a speaker. Everyone's an author. What separates my message from the other people's messages and what makes someone wants me to come in to talk to their trusted their team. And what makes someone that wants me to come in to speak to their university? Who wants to buy my programs for their school districts, my financial programs, my fitness programs, my wellness programs? So I have to do something that sets me apart from everybody else. And being an Olympian is a good start.
Yeah.
But I have to make sure that my programs are great. Mm-hmm. Not just good, that they're great. We collect data. A lot of folks don't collect data. They just do it for one time and then they move on. My programs, we collect data. We have a proven record, a track record. And the people often ask me to come back. And that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. And your message around movement and aging powerfully, not gracefully, powerfully, yes, resonates with so many people. Why is it important for you to challenge society's assumption about age and wellness? And what challenges have you faced personally and professionally? And what did it teach you about resilience?
I think that when you look at being a woman, for example, women couldn't run long distances. Women can't work in a man's field, whatever those words were back in the 60s and 50s and 40s. Mm-hmm. It's changed now. And our kids are growing up saying, not saying that what women can't do is what women can do.
Mm-hmm.
However, my mindset of being told what I couldn't do has put me in a different place. And so what I'm saying is that when I think about the mindset of a successful woman or an athlete, what does that look like? Why am I still able to keep on go? Why am I able to remain relevant? And I think it's basically simple, is that because I'm not ready to say no. I will leave under my own volition. I'm not going to have someone say that you can or you can't do this. I always say, give me a slow yes instead of a fast no.
Mm-hmm.
You have to remain resilient. You have to be powerful. And the power comes in you being the best and being able to know your area of expertise. What is it in your life that you know that you can do that no one can do like you? You have it, they have it, and I have it. And that is where I've stayed. I can speak, I can empower, I can motivate it, and I can make you accomplish your goals. I can help you, guide you, and that's where I stay. I'm not in banking.
Mm-hmm.
I know a little bit about my finances and my investments, but I'm not in the banking world. Yeah. I don't do that. That's what you do, right, better than anybody else. You know you can do that. So I tell people the power comes from realizing what is it that you do that you know you do and no one can do it better than you.
Mm-hmm. After the Olympic appearances, awards, recognition, and accomplishments, how do you define success now?
Mm.
And what advice do you have for other leaders? Because, you know, how you define success, and it can all kind of go hand in hand. Talk to me a little bit about that.
Yes, I think success for me is to whom much is given, much is required.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when you reach down to help somebody, that's when you're successful. We all can graduate and do well in our own little space.
Mm-hmm.
But who are you helping? Who are you directing? Who are you taking time out to encourage? That to me is success, because by me doing that, I watch them flourish. And we are keeping on the tradition of being the best and being successful. So you are right. It does vary. But I believe if you don't stop and help someone, guide someone, direct someone, help someone, whatever you learn to get to the spot, if you're not helping someone get to their place, you're not being successful. And as for a leader, you only lead when someone is following you.
Mm-hmm.
And so many leaders are out here doing their thing. They don't take time to listen to their employees. You have these meetings, they tell you all this good information, and then you go do whatever it is that you want to do. And I think for a leader, they have to realize that, yes, we are the top of the food chain, let's say. But without the other people that know the mission, without you listening to them, without you implementing some of their strategies into the overall mission of the organization, it won't be successful. So leaders have to understand that they are maybe in charge per title,
mm-hmm,
but if the people beneath you aren't feeling worthy or you're not listening to them or implementing some of their strategies, it won't work.
Yeah. And when you know better, you have to do better.
Absolutely.
Right? Absolutely. Joetta, your story is a masterclass in longevity, resilience, discipline, and purpose. You've shown us that greatness is not confined to one season of life. It's built through consistency, faith, movement, mindset, and the courage to continue evolving. From Olympic stadiums to wellness leadership to empowering communities, families, and future generations, you have transformed competition into impact and performance into purpose. And perhaps most importantly, you continue to remind people everywhere that dreams do not have deadlines. Thank you for sharing your wisdom, your journey, and your heart with us tonight. And to our listeners, remember this: excellence is not about age. It's not about applause. It's about how you continue to show up with discipline, resilience, and purpose long after others stop. Until next time, keep striving, keep growing, and keep blazing your own trail. Thanks so much, Joetta.
Thank you for having me. Mm-hmm.